Housing for the Aged Action Group, HAG for short, a housing group for older people run by old people. Present
Raise the Roof!
We advocate for secure, affordable and appropriate housing. So listen up on the second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30pm on 3CR 855 on your AM dial.
That's right, you're listening to HAG's Raise the Roof show, the program that comes out every second and fourth Wednesday of the month, all about older people's housing issues. My name is Fiona. I'm here by myself today because Shane, I don't know, am I breaching your privacy by saying this, Shane, has had all of his wisdom teeth taken out. I guess that means we'll have no more words of wisdom from him. However, he will be back on deck next time, I hope. And in the meantime, I have just had the lovely Bridget in the studio and we've been chatting all about her experiences and of doing the Housing Champions course, but also her own experience of housing insecurity. And we will go straight into that interview now. We're joined in the studio today by Bridget. So introduce yourself today, Bridget.
Hi everyone, my name's Bridget and I live in South Melbourne where I've lived for almost 5-6 years I think now.
And if you don't mind me asking, what age bracket do you fall into?
What I can say is that I'm 55 and over bracket.
That's good to know. So recently we, as listeners who have been listening to our show for the last little while, will know that we've recently completed our Housing Champions course and you were one of the graduates. So we trained around 20 older people around advocacy on housing and older people for the upcoming election. So tell us, how did you find it? What did you find interesting about it and what did you learn?
Firstly, it's been really fantastic meeting everyone.
Yeah.
And also hearing their stories, and including meeting our esteemed Aboriginal elders and hearing their stories.
Yeah.
So I guess the most interesting thing I've learnt has that I've been reminded of is that housing is a policy choice.
Mm.
And that was kind of highlighted in red when we started talking in our first session. So policies can either help people continue to make an economic and productive contribution to Australia, or they can make them invisible and fall through the cracks. So we had discussions around that. Also, the ways of doing things don't necessarily meet everyone's needs with the current policies, and that where there are ways of doing things regarding housing that leave people out or prevent access, then it's about working together to push for policy change. And that's really what HAG is about, getting the volunteers and getting staff together and moving towards some change in policy together with staff and volunteers as a group. And I really like that approach. And I found that that's very inclusive. Yeah.
That's great to hear. That's, you hit the nail on the head. That's exactly right. Working together is the only way we're going to be able to make change. So before you joined, what made you, when you first heard about it, what made you interested in joining and why did you think that housing was something that you did want to get involved in advocating for?
I was interested in joining, first of all, I think, because I was touched by the situation with my own lived experience.
Mm.
I wanted to be part of a collective that's working on improving housing outcomes through community activism.
Yeah.
As a social worker, I'm interested in activism, advocacy, and through using positive and proactive advocacy is very important, I think, which is what HAG advocates. Secondly, I quite enjoy advocacy myself, just generally, and it's something I think I can offer to help elevate everyone's voice and help empower the bringing of all of our lived experience as a collective. I've experienced homelessness. That's the other thing, my lived experience and living in crisis accommodation and having been able to get a decent roof over my head in the past 5 to 6 years. So the positive side of that is that it's been a great move in terms of thriving in life. And really it's been, I can say that it's been truly transformational for me. That's been a journey. That's how I feel now. So secondly, I see people in housing poverty and immense stress due to rent stress. Mm. So the issue of housing is absolutely critical. I mean, it's a massive issue at the moment. So rent stress in particular, with huge rent increases, it seems extremely unfair. So affordable housing, I know, is a human right. Housing being viewed predominantly as a commodity, I think, denies people adequate shelter, and inevitably this impacts the most vulnerable.
Mm, absolutely. And as a social worker, you would be bringing that social justice lens to the housing crisis, and I think that's a really important part of what HAG does as well, is looking at the big picture levers, as you were mentioning earlier, about this is a policy choice, but it's actually having a real impact on individuals.
Yeah.
But it's the individuals that have to deal with the consequences of that.
Yeah.
So one of the goals of the Housing Champions is to actually get to speak to decision makers, and hopefully some of them will be listening to the radio show. But if you did get a chance to buttonhole a decision maker or get in a lift with one or get to have a meeting with one, what's the one thing that you would like older decision makers to know about older people's housing?
Well, firstly, what I'd like decision makers to be mindful of is that foremost is that older people may have many years left of their lives. I think you reminded me of this in one of your talks recently, and it really got me thinking, because indeed as many as 30 years of life they may still have and want to live.
Yeah.
So I know, speaking for myself and listening to our group, that it's vital to feel secure, safe and in stable shelter, as we have the right to thrive like everybody else, because life is about the goal to thrive, not just to survive.
Yeah.
And everyone wants housing. We want housing for young people. We want housing for people starting out in life. And I think sometimes what falls through the cracks is that older people still have decades and decades, and they still can contribute to the economy in so many different ways and have productive years.
Mm.
And what are some of the innovative ways that older people can be utilised? And housing is going to make that happen. It's going to make people feel useful and want to be useful.
Mm. And have the ability to contribute, because they're not going to be stressing about their housing.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything else that you would want to say to a decision maker?
Yeah, I'd say, who wants to be living on the street in crisis accommodation, which can often be unsafe, or couch surfing at the age of 70, for example?
Mm.
So I'd say to them, how would you feel if this was you or your daughter, your mother, your father, your grandfather? Also, it's vital not to just give in and capitulate to the lobbyists or the squeakiest wheels or those with power and money. So there needs to be serious consideration to shutting down a more territorial approach to housing and community. And instead, please remember how inclusion and access to affordable and safe housing for those who have low incomes and health and well-being struggles can positively impact the economy at large.
Mm.
So that's got a massive flow-on effect. Personal and health adversity is a fact of life. So it can't be in the too hard basket.
Yeah.
Can't be swept under the rug and given to the people with power and wealth to do something about. It has to be faced and addressed, but equity and housing is not one size fits all, and it's certainly not about creating another building entrance for people we'd rather not see on a daily basis.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, alluding to the scandal that was revealed with the poor doors, where affordable housing tenants were having to enter a mixed tenure building through a different door and didn't have access to the same amenity as those that paid more money for their apartments, which is a really appalling way to roll out affordable housing.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if that's been imported from another country, because I did have someone say when she was in the States that That's what they call it, the poor door.
Yeah, okay.
And I guess we need to be innovative about our approaches for Australia. We don't need to, you know, we need to look at the best models that are inclusive.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the kind of things around mixed tenure is this idea that everyone's having a social mix, but the reality of the way they're running those buildings is that it's not much mixing going on, which isn't very good. Mm. So one of the things that we want to do at HAG is make sure that older people are involved in all of our work. So why do you think it's important for older people to hear directly, I mean, for politicians to hear directly from older people and not from, say, a younger person advocating on their behalf?
Well, I think that it's really important to know that you have the right to speak up.
Mm.
It doesn't matter what age you are. And to ensure your human rights are listened to. And collectively, it's also an empowering way to do this with HAG.
Yeah.
So to also think about how you can empower yourself through information. I find comfort, I guess, in what international covenants say, what international law says about this, because I think more and more it's becoming a massive global issue.
Yeah.
It is a massive global issue. And also to read the articles and what international law says about the provision of adequate housing as a human right. For example, the UN defines what housing is. For example, it talks about some of the attributes that housing is supposed to have. Affordability is one of them. So housing is not adequate if its cost threatens or compromises the occupant's enjoyment of other human rights.
Yeah.
What can they do if you're every day trying to survive on a couch and you have to move, you know, to someone else's couch? They may not be a friend. It may be safe and secure. So that's just one of a number of conditions that must be met before particular forms of shelter can be considered adequate housing.
Mm.
And it's interesting the way it breaks down adequate housing, because it really gives us voice to this issue. And it's a really strong voice, and that's a body that overhangs everything we do. And I guess I think that's a way to be taken, you know, it has to be taken seriously.
Mm, it can't really be dismissed when you've got that backup of all of that research by international and national people.
Exactly.
You're listening to Raise the Roof on 3CR, 855 AM, and you can listen to us digitally or online with on the 3CR website or on any of the platforms. We're having a conversation, myself and Bridget, about the Housing Champions program and the need for safe, secure and affordable housing and the need for politicians to back that in the upcoming election. So is there anything else that you would like listeners to know around either your own experience or the Housing Champions or what you think we could be doing more of in terms of housing?
I just really guess it's important for me to reiterate from the experience that I've had personally and also from hearing from people in our group and the stories that people have to offer, is that our voice is really important, and the voices of everyone about this crisis are really important. And the more we divide people across age, gender, it's not helpful. And there are lots of ways to divide people these days. And I think people make it, there are people who make it their business to divide and rule. We need to focus on everyone wants shelter. Everyone has a right to shelter. And lift your voice, you know. Activate your activism is what I would say.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I might.
That should go on a T-shirt.
I might put that on a T-shirt.
Yeah, totally.
And it's so important to not think that, oh, someone else will speak up or someone else will say something. Get involved and just make your voice heard. It's really important. Doesn't matter whether you're 90.
Yeah.
And I've seen 90-year-olds, I've heard of 90-year-olds and seen 90-year-olds turn up to community meetings who are being thrown out of their housing one of the public housing towers they've been in for decades and decades, in utter distress. Some of the people who've got a lot of advantage need to maybe turn up at some of these meetings and put yourself in their shoes.
Mm.
What if that was you? You know, go back to empathy.
Mm.
What is empathy? Empathy is putting yourself in someone else's shoes who doesn't have the advantages you have. It's really important.
Mm.
Forget about getting on social media and getting involved in some of these more divisive arguments. Come over and have a look at what's happening that actually, at the end of the day, is going to long-term impact everyone.
Mm, mm, yeah, wise words there. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for coming in today, Bridget. That's been really great. And all the best with the upcoming election campaign.
Yes.
Hopefully we can hear all about how you go meeting with your various local candidates.
Yes. That's in the pipeline.
Yeah, and we'll touch base with you all afterwards, after November's finished. So thank you.
You're very welcome. Great to be here, and thank you for listening.
Help us stay radical. Become a regular donor to 3CR. A regular donor is someone who loves 3CR so much that they set up an automatic donation to 3CR on the same day every month. 3CR is determined to stay independent. This means we don't rely on corporate sponsorship or government funding. We serve our community, not corporate interests. But this also means we do rely on people like you to keep the station running. From paying the bills to maintaining our studios to training the next generation of community broadcasters, 3CR relies on community donations to survive. By becoming a regular donor, you can help us stay resilient and radical. Will you help 3CR by becoming a regular donor today? Together, we can keep independent voices on air. Go to 3cr.org.au.
If you're a renter with problems such as repairs, getting your bond back, negotiating a rent hike, or facing eviction, it helps to know your rights. For free information and advice on renting, you can visit Tenants Victoria at www.tenants.vic.org.au, Arnica Legal at www.anikalegal.com, or contact your nearest community legal centre. The government is planning to demolish and redevelop high-rise public housing towers in Melbourne. If you're living in a public housing tower and need free legal advice about your options, find your nearest community legal centre at www.fclc.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
Welcome back. You're still listening to Hags Raise the Roof Show on 3CR 855 AM, digital and online via... via HAG's website, oldertenants.org.au, or via 3cr.org.au. So, yeah, there's a bit going on in the renting space at the moment. We just heard an announcement there about renter rights if you're living in private rental, but also if you're living in any of the public housing towers that are slated for demolition, you should have a look at your local community legal centre to see what support they can provide. And regarding older renting, you can also contact HAG if you're an older renter, because we have what we affectionately known as the TARTS, the Tenancy and Retirement Housing Team, who deal with all sorts of issues, including notices to vacate and rent increases and repairs, and they're a great team. Hopefully we'll be able to talk more about that shortly. But I did want to mention a couple of things that HAG has been up to recently. On Thursday last week, we had a very well-attended general meeting that was our soup meeting, where we have staff members make soup and serve it to the members of the organisation. Unfortunately, that wasn't great for the people that joined us online, but the people that joined us in the room enjoyed some lovely soup. And we had a presentation from Better Buses in the West, which is a campaign that runs out of Friends of the Earth in Melbourne. And the reason that we had those folk in is because, firstly, we have quite a lot of members who live in the western suburbs of Melbourne, but also we know how important transport and public transport is for older people in order for them to participate, get to the doctors, look after the grandkids, go shopping, come into our meetings, all sorts of reasons why we need transport. And unfortunately, the West is one of the largest growing areas in terms of population, but with quite poor public transport infrastructure in some areas. So there's a big dependence on cars, and there's really high traffic, particularly on some of the big kind of freeways going in. And so what Better Buses in the West are doing is looking at kind of a simplifying the existing bus grid. So we have our trains, we have a couple of trams, but not a huge amount of trams in the west, unlike the eastern suburbs, which has a bunch of trams. So we are pretty reliant on buses to join up the train stations and get into the suburbs. But at the moment, there can be like 40-minute waits between buses. They don't join up to the trains. And we have this, you know, pretty long, particularly after hours, but even during peak hour, long, long times of sitting, sometimes in shelters with no shade, waiting for the bus. And so what they've done is really just had a look at all we have and proposed this kind of simplification of the existing bus route to make the buses go more directly and more often, so every 10 minutes instead of every 40 minutes, and, you know, even over at night time. And so they're calling on politicians in the election to commit and act on this kind of new grid. So they've got a voter support letter for people that actually live in the West, but even people that don't live in the West and think that it's important, there's a way that they can get involved as well. And afterwards, the person that presented at our meeting said that was one of the most kind of well-informed and lively discussions that they'd had, that there's a bit of a stigma about buses and people don't really want to talk about them. And sometimes when the Better Buses in the West people present, they have to justify even talking about buses. But our people were extremely enthusiastic about buses. I think there was a good 40 minutes of discussion and presentation, and lots of people with a huge wealth of information about what it's like to catch buses, the lack of accessibility in buses, how much does a bus cost, how many bus drivers do we need, all sorts of things. So if you're interested in finding out more about the Better Health, Better Buses in the West, you can have a look at the Friends of the Earth website, which has its own page on Better Buses. And there's also Instagram and the rest where you can, Facebook and all of those things, which can help you jump onto things. And they really want to show that people do care about their buses. So if you are a person that uses the bus, take a photo of yourself enjoying the bus and send it on into them, and they can perhaps use it as part of their campaigning as well. Okay, that's enough about buses. The other thing that I wanted to talk to you about was the Retirement Village Roadshow that the Residential Tenancy Commissioner is putting on. So as listeners would know, there were changes to the Retirement Villages Act earlier in the year, long overdue changes, and there's been a series of roadshows which people from retirement villages have been encouraged to attend. We're there often, as much as we can be. Either Shane, who's running our team there, who can talk about what we can offer residents, or else another member of our team. So we've been, you know, Shepparton and Ballarat and around the place. So some upcoming events you might be interested in. If you're in Frankston, there is a session at the Frankston Arts Centre on the 31st, Monday the 31st of August. There is an online event for those that don't want to leave home, and that's on the 15th of September at 10 o'clock. There's another one at Hoppers Crossing on the 16th of September, and there is one in South Morang on the 23rd of September. So all of those, I think maybe the Frankston one could possibly be sold out, but the others are all available to attend for residents. So if you have any questions about the Retirement Villages Act and what it might mean to you as a retirement villages owner, then resident, then perhaps you would like to go and ask some questions of the team there and find out what it all means. I know that residents of Retirement Villages Victoria, which is the residents group has also been attending and co-presenting alongside the Commissioner, so definitely worthwhile attending one of those events. And the last thing I wanted to quickly mention again was the Victorian State Election Platform, which HAG has released a couple of weeks ago now. As people know, Victorians are going to the polls again in November. And we think it's a really important time to get housing on the agenda. We have released our advocacy plan, which and our platform, which is calling for, of course, an increase in public housing, at least 8,000 houses per year needs to be built. And then we also have a call for better services for older people, types of housing for those that aren't eligible for public and community housing, and more consultation and involvement from older people in decisions around their housing. So if that sounds like something that you support, please come and have a look at our website, which is oldertenants.org.au. And if you hit the I Want Change page, you will see the information on the Victorian election, plus all our other campaigns. We're hoping to have the Housing Champions out and about, but all older people or people that care about older people and care about housing, would be great if they could get involved and talk about housing in the upcoming election. So that's about all we have time for today. If you are an older Victorian and you live, having problems with your housing, or you want to find out what your options are, perhaps you've received a notice to vacate or an unaffordable rent increase, or you just want to know what possibilities there might be for the future in terms of your housing options, you can give us a call on 1300 765 178, and that's for anybody living in Victoria over 50. If you want to get involved in any of our campaigns, if you want to join one of our many and varied working groups which meet regularly, you can call our office on 03 9654 7389. And don't forget, we have House Chats, which is our regular once a month get together for people that just want to come in and to Ross House and have an informal chat about housing or whatever else is on their mind. We've talked about making it into a reading group, or just, yeah, one of our members, Vanessa, always makes something lovely to eat. So come along and have a cup of tea with us and the members. And the next one of Housing Chats is in September, on the 9th of September. I believe it's about 2 o'clock. Let me just check. No, it's 1:30. So that's at 247 251 Flinders Lane. Okay, so we're going to go out with a song. This is probably a little bit cheeky of me, but sometimes I know some people and sing in the Footscray Hotel Choir, which is a pretty informal ragtag bunch of people that happen to sing Georgian and Italian songs. A long coincidence. Lloyd is the person that teaches all of those songs to us, and we had a really awesome gig the other day, which was with Living Museum of the West, who has an association with 3CR as well, and we actually recorded one of the songs, and it sounded pretty bloody good actually. So this one is in Italian, and it's called Li Me Voleva Bene, mind the accent, and I'm going to go out with it now.